Good afternoon.
Hi, Elias. Hi.
And how have you been proceeding?
Oh, my gosh. I just had the most incredible conversation with Mary. And, oh, my God, what a gem she is.
I agree.
Yes. Many of the things that I was still wondering and I was going to talk to you about at some point, you know, she just brings it up in a conversation, and it's just amazing. But what I was telling her about, which really started our incredible conversation, was that until my last two sessions, I have been taking all the concepts that you have been presented. And you know, I've only been in this material for about 3 years, so it's been a crash course for me. But it's like I was taking them and writing them on post-it notes and sticking them to my body. And sometimes the notes would fall off and I'd look down and go, oh shit, you know, I should know that. And so I'd stick it back on, you know, and then I'd find something else and post it. And nothing ever seemed to really sink in and make a difference. But when I dropped that anvil and chain, it just seemed like all these things all of a sudden made sense, and I could experientially every day implement them.
Congratulations.
And yeah, it's things like the yes and the no, the being intentional, what a reflection is, and recognizing you have choices in every reflection, identifying the attachments. And it was just like, where did that come from? You know, it happened. So.
And it happens when you are ready.
Whew.
And being ready doesn't mean that one day you suddenly are open and you understand. Being ready means you have been accumulating information for a time. You have been gathering and gathering and accumulating and assimilating information for a time. And then at some point, when all of that information has been assimilated, then you are ready, and all that is required is one statement or one concept, and that unlocks that door.
Yes.
But we're doing it all throughout the entire time.
Yeah. Okay, I'd like to start with some fun stuff. And then maybe address to the next layer of the onion. Just fun stuff. Would most of my focuses of Lila be either Sumari or Zuli aligned?
Many, many, many of them, yes.
Okay, so those would be the top two?
Yes.
Okay. And then I wanted to ask about the characteristics of the golden eagle, because I've noticed that a lot of people have this as their focus animal and their essence animal, and it seems that a lot of people that are either Sumafi belonging or aligned tend to have this. Is that correct?
Many, yes.
And so when I'm looking at the golden eagle, I recognize that it is just massive in size. In fact, I think it's the largest bird next to the condor that's in existence right now. It's a predator. It tends to be a solitary animal, and of course, there's just a lot of power associated with this bird.
And, very much so.
And so what else might you add to that?
I would express that this is an animal that most individuals automatically look at as powerful, as a symbol of strength. But although that is definitely a piece with this animal, I would express that different individuals align with that animal for different reasons and for different qualities. This is an animal that incorporates many qualities that you would not automatically ascribe to this particular animal. It is tremendously majestic.
Yes.
And what is meant by that is that this is an animal that has learned through centuries and centuries how to live and exist in a tremendous ease. It floats more than it flies. It uses everything around it to support itself. It flies and exists and lives in tremendous elevations because it is easier. It is such a tremendous bird. It is exceptionally large. For a bird that flies, it is heavy. And in that, it uses air currents to support it and to allow it to float rather than exerting tremendous energy in flying. It saves its energy for its prey. And even in that, most individuals would view this bird as being very powerful, very strong. That is not what it uses to be successful. It is very focused. It has keen senses, and it focuses those senses very precisely in relation to what it is doing. If it is hunting, it does not merely fly and scan the countryside searching for its prey. That is not how this bird functions. It scouts specific territories and it claims a particular territory that it establishes as rich in prey. Therefore, it does not waste time in hunting. It knows where its prey is, and it is tremendously focused in what it is doing. Most predators are generally only successful in capturing prey once in between 6 and 10 attempts. This eagle is successful 1 out of 2. Therefore, it is exceptionally efficient. But it is not only focused in relation to prey. It is very focused in establishing its territory. It is also very focused in establishing a mate. And both males and females are the same in that they are very focused in who they choose as their mate. It is not random. And in that, there is also another quality, that they are exceptionally devoted and nurturing parents. They choose areas of their territory in which there is the greatest potential for their young to be born and to thrive, not be disturbed by any other predators. And they don't incorporate many natural predators because they are so focused, because they are so intentional.
Intentional.
And they are. And in that, I would express that they have a tremendous capacity to be nurturing, to be protective, to be interactive with each other. Generally speaking, only as a couple,
mm-hmm.
as a pair. But they are also tremendously expressive in a wondrously majestic manner. They are very expressive in their interaction. They are very expressive in their courtships, and they are exceptionally expressive in their mating rituals, which are considerably elaborate. Nothing they do is accidental. Everything they do is intentional.
Ooh. Ooh, that's a loaded last sentence. Oh, thank you. Ooh. I'd like to address a dream that I had maybe even 2 years ago. And I'm having difficulty with this imagery, and it involves bees. And it seems that it's primarily bumblebees. And I keep getting bee imagery everywhere, and they even come and they sit on me outside and fly away. And I had a bee in my car this morning, and I remember I had a dream maybe about 2 years ago, and I was back in Kentucky, and I had this person that was my friend, and kind of it was primarily a business relationship. And looking back, she really didn't match my energy, but it was one of those kind of friendships that was forced. And with the dissolution of my horses and everything, it got pretty contentious over money and stuff. So anyway, I had this dream that I was moving back to Kentucky with my horses, and I went to her to ask her if I could move my horses back on her farm. And normally she's kind of a self-centered, greedy person, and you know, from my perception. But she said, oh, of course you can come back in. In fact, you can have this particular paddock, which happened to be the nicest paddock on the farm. And she was just being super nice, and it was just, it kind of blew my mind. And then she said, and I want to show you something. And so we walk over to one of the paddocks, and I noticed that she had pushed together two run-in sheds that are used to protect the horses in bad weather that they can go under. And when we walked into the two that had been pulled together, it was filled with giant bees. I mean, the size of like turkeys. And when we walked into this enclosure, they started flying out at us and over us. And the dream ended with me going, Tammy, Tammy, be careful of the bees, thinking that they were going to hurt us. And the dream ended. And then, like I said, just bee imagery coming up everywhere. And I don't even really have an impression. Although I did wanted to ask, am I a queen bee energy? Oh, yeah. Well, that goes without saying. So, oh, yeah. I figured that out. So, can you offer some further insight on that?
Yes.
Ooh.
First, think about bees. What are they? Well, what do they do?
Well, they collect pollen and turn it into a beautiful substance, honey. Is that the angle you want
what
me to...
What I would say to you is bees are exceptionally important, and incorporating bees in imagery, whether it be in dream imagery or in physical imagery, is significant. Bees are life sustaining. Bees are a wondrous metaphor for life. They are very busy, as you are aware, but they also incorporate very important functions. And their very important functions are not merely in producing honey, but their more important function is life-sustaining, because bees are exceptionally important for pollination. Without the bees, I would express that likely 80% of your vegetation would cease to exist. They are not life-giving, they are life-sustaining. They are life-sustaining to every other species. Even in the ocean, even water species, because bees are an essential part of what encourages and sustains the vegetation on your planet. And because everything is interconnected, the vegetation that is on land and the vegetation that is in water is also interconnected. Without one, the other does not exist either. They exist because of the harmony of both. Therefore, bees are exceptionally important. If you think about the function of bees, and then what you are presenting to yourself in imagery, bees are about life. And with them comes conflict and pain, but maintaining and continuance. Therefore, bees are about life.
Wow.
In that, you are presenting to yourself imagery about life. The significance of it, the balance of it, the delicateness of it, but the incredible strength and endurance of it. And that it can be painful, but it is maintained and it continues.
So essentially for me, it's, you know, just valuing and appreciating just the beauty of life in spite of the pain, you know, because there's so much more.
Not in spite of, including.
Including.
That is a part of it. Pain is an important part of life. It is what you do with it that determines whether you are satisfied and content or whether you are miserable. Pain is a very important piece of life, and it serves an important function in that it is not bad. And it is genuinely a matter of perception in relation to what you do with it. You can use it, or you can allow it to use you.
Whoa, thank you. Whew. Whew. I can see that dream imagery very clearly now. Wow. Elias, am I still resonating well with the area that I'm in?
And why are you asking that question?
Because in some senses, I'm looking around and I'm going, you know what? It seems that things are clicking into place. Things are seeming to click in my life. But there's another piece that's saying there might be another place. And not to necessarily jump up and go to that place now, but I just kind of feel it knocking.
What I would express to you is you don't only resonate with one place on the planet.
Right.
Therefore, it is not necessarily a matter of not resonating with one place after a time framework, but rather listening to your intuition and your impulses and following that perhaps to another place that you resonate with. It does not diminish that you resonate with the previous place. It merely means you are exploring and expanding and moving in directions that suit you or that benefit you, and that you can discover other places that you resonate with also.
You know, I think in my kind of my perception, I feel that, you know, my only choices are the U.S. And I have to catch myself on that because there are so many other places in the world where I would love to live. And I don't know if that's what I'm picking up on or what, because at least in the U.S., this area I like the most.
I would express that there are many different places in your world that you would resonate with, and I would also say to you that it is more unusual for individuals to leave their home country and resettle themselves in a different country than it is usual. I would express that most individuals don't move in that direction. And it is not because they don't resonate with other places, but you choose to manifest in a particular part of your world for that experience. And most individuals, by far, do remain in their home country, which is not bad, and it isn't a limiting choice either.
Okay.
You have tremendous volumes that you can explore within your own home country. If you are exceptionally drawn to leave your home country and move to a different country and resettle yourself in a different country, you would know that there would be a very strong drive to do so. Individuals do not generally leave their home country and move to a different country on a whim.
Okay.
Because you have chosen a particular culture and you have aligned yourself with that culture. In that, I would say that in your particular country, most individuals don't generally relocate themselves to tremendously different parts of your own country, because you occupy such a large country, and the same holds for other countries that are exceptionally large, such as China or Russia or Venezuela or Brazil. There are large countries that occupy considerable expanses of land. And when a country incorporates a considerable expanse of land, the people in that country generally create different cultures in different areas of the country. Therefore, most individuals, and there are exceptions, as you all are aware, but most individuals don't generally move from one area of the country to a different area in which the culture is significantly different. Because it is a tremendous adjustment. It is a choice that requires the individual to adjust and learn a different culture than what they are accustomed to. Now, that is not to say that individuals do not move from one area to another within your country. But generally speaking, when they do move, they choose other parts of the country that are similar in culture.
Interesting. Well, I've got to say, where I am right now, I'm really liking. Yeah.
I would also say to you that in this, this is another piece that you share a similarity with Michael. That for a considerable time framework in your life, you were residing in areas or parts of your country that were more urban. And moving in a direction in which you generated a significant change and moving to a more rural area is a considerable alteration. This is one of those types of moves that most individuals don't do.
Interesting. You know, I like the rural where I live, but I also love the fact that I can hop on a train and be right smack dab in the Mecca, you know, New York City. And then I can leave. Thank you, Elias.
Because the city is familiar. But I would also express to you that you would not necessarily be comfortable residing in the city any longer.
Yeah.
That would be too busy.
Okay. All right, I kind of want to hit the next layer.
Very well.
Okay. Sandra, in our discussion, our weekly discussion with our magic group, she did another lapis thing with the steam. And she said she saw me as a blue butterfly that had just emerged from the cocoon and it was in the process of drying its wings, which I thought was just... Oh my God, it was just such, it's just such beautiful imagery. Okay, so my next layer. And I've been exploring what you've been saying about sadness is recognizing, is feeling that you don't have any choices. So I'm trying to bring all this stuff in. My next layer is my question is, how much can I realistically expect that I can accomplish? And I kind of want to take it in the direction of, you know, like our friend that you talked to recently. I too have that kind of that aristocratic elegance type thing. And what's the word she used, kind of like the charmed life and stuff. And that's where, Elias, I want to go. And I still, you know, look at myself I understand what you're saying about dependent upon and age and things like that. You know, I'm still looking at myself and I'm saying, I own no land. I have nothing in my bank accounts. What are the odds that I can achieve that? Or is there something in my desire that's keeping me where I am now? Or am I...
Ah, but you are generating that separation that where you are now, you can't be that. Now... dip into some other aspect. aspects of yourself and think momentarily. I would say to you that in your present country, in the southern areas of your country, individuals generated quite aristocratic lives and were distances away from each other. We're not in cities. Yes, there were some that were expressing that aristocratic life in cities, but there were many that were expressing those elegant aristocratic lives not in cities, in rural areas.
And Elias, let me stop you here. I mean, in the area where I am, I mean, I realize there's no coincidence because it is an aristocratic rural area. I got to chuckle again. I'm smack dab in the middle of it.
And it is merely a matter of what you choose. Do you choose to be a part of that or to be that yourself, or do you not?
I mean, I hear what you're saying, and the session that my friend shared with me was quite powerful.
It is all a matter of choices, my friend.
Well, I am choosing like you wouldn't believe now. like I get up this morning and I put on my favorite piece of jewelry, even if I'm just cleaning the fucking cat boxes. You know? I mean,
I would express that that is a part of it. Yes. It is how you present yourself. How do you see yourself? How do you perceive yourself? And what do you do with it? What do you think of when you express the word plantation?
You're asking me?
Yes.
What do I think of? Because there's a lot of beautiful plantations up here, and you know what? I'd like to be a part of one.
That is a word that conjures what type of image? It does not conjure a shack.
No, fuck no. and I hear you, Elias.
When you say that word, plantation, it conjures an image of grandeur and elegance. And aristocratic.
And I hear you, Elias, and I am so thankful I am here. But my question is, how much can I realistically expect? And I know you might just whip me up here, I know it, but it's a true layer. Is how can I go from being where I am right now to actually having one of those myself? Recognizing what I don't like, and I tried it on my own, is to lead the aristocratic life, but it was such that I was doing all the work and it about killed me. And I realized with the queen bee imagery, I like other people to do the work, and I also like paying them well to do the work. But
that is the image of an aristocrat, is it not?
It is. But what, I guess my question is, what is keeping me going from where I am now, which is leasing a place, to owning a place like that, which now I know I'm going to raise bees if I ever get it. What, or am I heading that way, but I am in that in-between where I want to push?
I would express partially the latter, and I would also express that you are expressing in somewhat of a black and white direction. How do I go from leasing a place to owning a place? I would express that that is the separation in that black and white. It is not about whether you lease or you rent or you own. It is not about that. Those choices will present themselves to you at different times when you are moving in the direction that you're not focused on that. You are focused on what you are creating and what you are being. When you are focused on, I want to buy a house, I want to buy a house, I want to buy a house, you will likely be in that direction for a considerable time framework and not actually doing it. Conversely, when you are creating what you want with what you have and building on that and not concerning yourself whether you own it or not, you do because you are there. And in that, I would express to you that when you are being what you want to be, when you are creating around you what you want around you, then you will present yourself with those choices. And what I would say to you is, you may or may not want to own it. You might not. It depends on what your perception is and what is important to you in the moment, in that time framework. That is not the most important piece.
I hear you.
That piece will present itself to you naturally when you are already being what you want to be. Because you naturally create more of whatever you are doing.
Elias, you know, it's just amazing because, you know, I'm just picking up sessions now where you've been saying this for years, and I just listened to session 2537 last night, which I just loved, with the Angelina Jolie discussion, and I can see things that I can do right now that will even take me to where I want to go, but it's in changing some things right now. You know, I am moving in that direction.
And you will do it as you are comfortable in doing it and when you are ready. And in that, when you genuinely want to move in a direction and you have no doubts and questions, you will do it. You merely will. This is the reason that I repeatedly express to individuals how important it is for them to pay attention to what they are doing in their daily routine every day, regardless of what it is, all the actions, all the experiences. It matters not that you think of it as being mundane or insignificant, because those are the actions and the energy that you generate the most of.
Elias, and I hear you, and I'm taking that, and I'm like, I'll add more water to the bath. I'll open all my windows in the house to get, you know, more of the breeze. I'm on that.
And I acknowledge you tremendously that you are wearing your jewelry while you are addressing to your cat litter. But that is precisely what I am expressing. And I am aware that most individuals hear that and think to themselves that it is silly. But they don't recognize how it changes their energy. And when it changes their energy, it changes their perception. And when you change your perception, you change your reality. And that is quite literal.
Oh, I hear you.
When you do different actions, and when you pay attention in different manners, it changes how you see your world, how you see yourself. It changes how you feel. And in that, it changes what is important.
What you give importance to.
Just as with the house. If you are concentrating on, I want to buy a house, I want to buy a house, you make that important.
You know,
and you stop paying attention to all the other factors that are genuinely important to you. Therefore, you narrow your perception. And when you narrow your perception, you don't allow as many possibilities.
Okay. You know what I was trying to do, don't you? I was trying to take this into the, but maybe I am that damaged can of beans. I was trying to backdoor you on that, Elias.
Damaged aspect.
The squashed loaf of bread.
Let me express to you in a similar manner that I have recently, you are not damaged.
I know.
You may be slightly bruised, but that will right itself. But you are not broken. And you are not perishable. Therefore, if you are slightly bruised, you are not a pear that is no longer edible.
Oh, God. I hear you. I this is what I'm going to work with more.
Remind yourself that some of your experiences have bruised you, but bruises heal.
Yeah.
And where they heal, they leave no indicator that they ever existed.
Ooh, I like that. Elias, can I ask you one thing? I noticed recently with my diet, I pretty much know what I do well on, and this happens every so often, but I had a day where it was like Katie barred the fucking doors when it came to rich, sweet food. I mean, I ate a whole cheesecake the other day. I ate two whole things of creamy hummus. I was just, and you know what? It used to be I used to fight myself on that, and it just made it worse. So I just succumbed to the cheesecake, and I just enjoyed it. And was, and I try to keep enough sugars in my diet from fruits and such so that I'm not sugar depleted, at least in my perception, or, you know, so what's happening when that happens for me? And I do understand that wonderful session with Linda where you said sometimes we do these repeat actions to show that, you know, it is part of your flow and you deserve.
And that is very correct. And I would express that even when you are consuming in a manner that you believe or you think is healthy, and you are, as you express, affording yourself sugars in fruits or different foods, that does not mean that you are not continuing to hold a perception that you are denying yourself. You are merely motivating yourself by expressing that this is healthy and therefore you should be moving in this direction, and that you have certain goals and therefore this is the manner in which you achieve them. But underneath that, there is that remaining aspect that you are denying yourself. And therefore, occasionally, that energy builds.
Ah, the container.
Yes.
My friend, the container.
Yes. The energy builds, and then occasionally it spills over. And when it spills over, you eat all of the foods that you tell yourself you shouldn't be eating. And you eat them in excess, not in balance. And then you feel uncomfortable, or you discount yourself. What I would express to you is the secret is moving in a direction in which you are discovering some element, let us say, that is sweet, that you genuinely enjoy, and allow yourself to incorporate that as your indulgence. If you want to be incorporating a particular diet and you want to move in a direction of removing certain elements from your diet, you require a reason. A reason that is as important to you as the sweet. The sweet is important to you because you like it. In this, it is a matter of finding some reason that holds equal importance to you, to motivate you to maintain a particular type of diet. And in that, because that reason is important enough, you aren't perceiving that you are denying yourself. Therefore, the denial of certain foods becomes unimportant. That is how you diminish the importance of what you think you are denying yourself.
Okay.
If cheesecake isn't important, regardless that you like it, regardless that you enjoy the taste, if it becomes unimportant because something else is more important, then you don't miss it. And in that, then you aren't denying yourself because you know it is actually a choice. I could eat this cheesecake. I could eat this ice cream. I don't want to. I don't choose to. Not because I shouldn't, because I'm choosing not to, because another expression is more important to me.
I get it. Lias, I'll be working. We need to go because the timer went off. But
very
I
well.
Hear you because that's that goes with other things in life too. It's just not about cheesecake. It's a great metaphor, though.
But cheesecake is a good metaphor.
Yes, it is. Elias, you have made such a difference in my life.
And I express to you, I shall continue to do so as long as you continue to participate.
Oof, well.
And I express tremendous encouragement to you, my friend.
Thank you.
I shall be anticipating our next meeting, and I shall be offering my energy to you continuously every day and great support.
Thank you.
In wondrous lovingness to you, my dear friend, as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir.